We're certainly looking forward to, you know, getting out and working with the Eagles today. Well, again, it's a good opportunity to evaluate our team, both individually and scheme-wise. You know, Chip and his staff have been great to work with, as they were last year. So I really, you know, like the way that we've got things formatted and the way we've been able to work together and lay it out. So should be a good opportunity for our team. Looking forward to it.
Bill, Pat Shurmur was very complimentary of Danny Amendola from his time with the Rams. How pleased are you with his progress so far in camp and how he's performed, especially in these joint practices?
Yeah, he's done fine. He's done well. It's been consistent, and you know, still we got a lot of things to work on. You know, everybody, all phases of our game, but in each individual. But you know, I think we're getting there.
He's done a good job.
Bill, last year at during practices, you said you thought Chip would have them in a competitive situation next year, meaning this year. Were you surprised at all that it happened as fast as it did for them, that they were able to get to the playoffs and win a division their first year?
No, I think Chip is, you know, is a good coach, does a good job, and you know, they're a good football team. You know, I mean, I think the play that they got a quarterback last year was real good. Not sure that anybody, you know, totally saw that coming, but you know, it was a big part of it, and you know, they had a lot of explosive plays. They're very dynamic on offense, and you know, created more explosive plays than anybody in the league. So, you know, they do a good job.
How much have you talked to Chip, if at all, about maybe going longer today or altering things based on the potential bad weather tomorrow?
Well, we've got our schedule, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to stick to it.
Just with that in mind, I mean, talk about how valuable practices are. I mean, basically a flood watch in effect tomorrow. Was there consideration taken towards perhaps practicing Thursday?
Yeah, we have a schedule for Thursday. Yeah, we're working with the Eagles on Thursday, just like last week.
You realize that?
Oh, okay, sorry.
For these joint practices, this is obviously round two for you guys this summer. The agenda, side of the pond, coaches, same every time, or what you guys got out of Washington last week different from what you're hoping to get out of Philadelphia because of the team and the personnel and everything else involved?
Yeah, again, I think anything we do is good. What we're doing this week is a little different than what we did against Washington, but I don't think it's better or worse. It's all valuable. So Chip and I talked about what we wanted to do, and that's, I think we're both comfortable with that, and I think it'll be valuable for us. So, but last week was good, too. So,
Bill, is there any benefit to, in terms of evaluation from going against a different team practicing 2 weeks in a row versus practicing against a different team than yourselves and then the team the next third week?
I don't know. Again, every practice opportunity is valuable. So, I mean, if we didn't practice against anybody, you know, those would still be valuable practices. So, I don't know.
Bill, the Eagles are kind of a rarity these days. They have four linebackers who rarely come off the field. Can you talk a little bit about how the evolution of that position has changed throughout your career? Now, you know, there's so many substitutions. You know, briefly discuss, you know, from the days of Butkus, Lawrence, all that. But how has that evolved to the point where it's beneficial for coaches to sub linebackers out in certain plays?
I don't know. I mean, when we were at the Giants, when I was at the Giants, and I coached there for, I was there for 12 years, but most of the times the 3-4 defense, I mean, it's not uncommon to leave your linebackers on the field. You know, the guy usually comes out your nose guard, and a lot of times your ends go to your inside rushers and your outside linebackers are your defensive ends, which is basically what they are in a 3-4, and your two inside linebackers are your two inside linebackers. Not saying you couldn't sub them, but I think back to when I was at the Giants, I mean, I can't remember too many times when, you know, Banks, Taylor, Pepper, and Harry were standing by me. It wasn't very often. I'm not saying it never happened, but I'd say it wasn't very often. So I think when you have a 3-4 defense, that's what you have. Your outside linebackers become your defensive ends. Defensive ends, you know, usually become your inside rushers. And your inside linebackers, if if they're capable in a passing game, they're inside linebackers. And if you have a better inside linebacker in a passing game, then you probably sub them. But I don't see that as that unusual.
Have you seen a lot of improvement out of Daron Harmon this year from over last year?
Yeah, definitely. Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Much better understanding of what we do, much better understanding of what our opponents do, better anticipation. He had a great offseason, you know, physically, bigger, stronger, faster, more explosive. So, yeah, it's all positive, all above last year's bar.
Bill, your friend John Bon Jovi is a finalist by the Bills, and apparently that broke this morning. Would you welcome him as a potential owner in this division?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a great friendship with John, but, you know, whatever his business situation is or isn't, I really don't know very much about. So, you know, I think you'd have to talk to him about that. But, yeah, John's been a great friend for a long time, and I'm sure he'll always be a close friend.
Would you welcome him at practice?
I mean, you know, I think anything like that is pretty premature at this point. I don't think anything's taken place that I know of, so I'm not getting into a lot of hypothetical questions here.
So when you think about different offensive systems and some of the systems that you'll face this year, like, you know, Bill Lazor in Miami, how much of a nice, I guess, trial run is it to work against a team that maybe there's some similarities with what you'll practice out here against and then play against on Friday?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think any team that you work against, there's going to be similarities. Certainly working against Washington last week, there's going to be some application for what we did against them to other teams, and I'm sure the same will be true with Philadelphia or anybody else who practiced against. So, but that's, you know, I don't think that's really at the forefront of it. I mean, right now we're just trying to get better and evaluate our team and, you know, build on where we're at, and that's really where our focus is. I don't, you know too much about, you know, trying to over-strategize at this point. I mean, I think we got to try to take our opportunities to improve against a good football team and get better as a team from a scheme standpoint and get better individually. And I think that's really what the emphasis is. I don't think this is like a big game planning week. I mean, I just don't see it that way.
With multiple teams running up-tempo offenses in the league, seems like more and more are doing it. Do you feel like that's is there something about the current state of the NFL that is allowing for that, or do you find it kind of more of a random trend?
No, I don't think it's that random. I think there's advantages to it, and evidently other teams and offensive coordinators see some of those advantages and are trying to do it. So whatever, you know, when you're a defensive coach, whatever they run, you have to defend. And as an offensive coach, you have control over those things. You don't have any control over them defensively. So all the teams that, you know, play opponents that are inclined or have the ability to run those type of offenses that you're talking about, you know, we have to be prepared to defend them. And certainly we have plenty of them on our schedule. I mean, it appears anyway. So, you know, this is a good opportunity to work on it. You know, we do it some ourselves. So when we work against ourselves, we see that. So that's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things you got to be prepared for. There's not any one thing. So that's one of the things that's in a big basket that you have to deal with.
What are some of the advantages to running the up-tempo?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do, you know, but certainly it limits, you know, some of the things a defense can do, but it limits some of the things an offense can do too. So that's, you know, that's a trade-off, you know. Maybe they're doing less, you're doing less. You know, can you execute at your pace better than they can execute at that pace? And that's really what it comes down to. If you can get your team to the point where you can, then it's an advantage. If you can't, then I'm not sure what the advantage is.
In the times you saw the Eagles last year, how did the offense compare schematically to what shifted at Oregon?
You know, I didn't really study them a lot last year. They weren't on our schedule, and, you know, we played them in the first preseason game, so that wasn't a team that I focused a lot on. I focused on the teams that we played. But, you know, we saw them some in the offseason, and obviously saw them a little bit against Chicago, but, I'd say they're a very explosive team. They created a lot of big plays, a lot of explosive plays, which is due to a number of factors, but I'd say that was the most impressive thing, and thing that kind of jumps off at you when you watch them in 2013? Is their ability to create, you know, huge chunks of yardage in the running game and in a passing game?
Their explosion is obviously with Chip coming in last year. Is it scheme or is it personnel? I mean, is it lean toward one or the other?
Well, I mean, I think you got to give Chip a lot of credit for that. There's a lot of other teams that have good players too, and you know they produce more big plays than anybody else. So I think there's certainly a scheme has something to do with it. But of course, they have great players and they have a great running back. Quarterback had a great year. You know, they had a receiver that had a big year. You know, had a good tight end. So good offensive line, healthy offensive line. Those guys played virtually every snap. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. I don't think you can just, you know, point to one guy or one play or anything. It was the whole combination of, you know, the staff, the players, the execution, play calling, I mean, like all of the above. Bottom line is, though, it's good. That was the bottom line.
Well, how important is it for the defense to maybe see a little bit of a read option type of offense, especially when that's something a little bit different than what you guys are running in practice every day when you're going up against each other?
Yeah, well, we have to prepare for all the things that we're going to see, whatever we can see in the preseason or whatever. Maybe we can build a base on that going forward. If we don't see it, then you know, we'll deal with it when we get to it. I might be wrong here, but I don't really see, you know, Philadelphia's quarterback running a lot of, you know, keep option plays. Maybe I've missed them, I don't know, but I don't really see him as an option quarterback that keeps the ball a lot. I mean, how many times did he carry a ball last year? I don't know, 40?
57.
Pardon?
57.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, you got some scrambles, you got some quarterback sneaks, you got some, you know, but I wouldn't really say, you know, that this is a quarterback keep option offense. I mean, I just wouldn't characterize it that way myself.
When you practiced against them last year, obviously Nick and Mike Vick were still battling. Then you said before, you know, he kind of came from nowhere. Did you get an impression of Nick last year? Could you see?
Yeah, him? No. I mean, obviously, you know, it's two good quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Mike and Foles. I mean, they're good quarterbacks. I'm just saying, at that point in time, you know, you're running your plays, they're running their plays. You're not trying to game plan or scheme or anything else. But you know, the year that Foles had, you know, relative to production, you know, his touchdowns, his interceptions, his, you know, overall handling the team, I mean, was great. It was outstanding. So I don't know that at that point we were there in training camp that, you know, I would have necessarily said I saw that coming. But, I mean, you know, you see a good football player. I mean, he had a great year.
Bill, the Eagles are one of the few teams who use a two-gap, 3-4. What do you see kind of as the advantages of that front?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of teams that do that. And the advantages of it are if you play it well, you know, I think you have more control and more ability to play split safety coverages. I mean, that's the main thing. It just comes down to a numbers game. Play one-gap defense, then you need another player for the extra gap, if you will. If you play some form of two-gap defense, whether it's 3-4, whatever it happens to be, if you play some form of two-gap defense, then you can theoretically, you know, match your 6 against their 6, your 7 against their 7, whatever it is, and you don't always need an extra player for an extra gap. But, you know, the teams that don't two-gap, you know, they a lot of times have linebackers responsible for two gaps, so it's the same numbers, different principle, though. So, you know, but, I mean, you got a big, strong physical team, and that's what you need to play those techniques, and say those are, you know, the type players they have.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay.